This morning, if you care to turn in your Bible to the book of Ephesians, just had our memory verse from there, but this is going to be chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 through 10. I'm sure these are very familiar verses for everyone. Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 1, and we'll go through verse 10. If you would stand in honor of the reading of the word, please. And you were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the world, prince of the power of air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived, in passions and of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so in the coming ages he might show us the immeasurable riches of his grace in the kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Lord, just speak to us this morning. Put your word in my mouth, Lord, and speak to your people. We ask it in thy name. Amen. You may be seated. Excuse me this morning. I'm kind of hacking. Kind of an interesting day. Believe it or not, Janice and I don't talk to each other about what the service is going to be, but yet the songs and all the things that came together, they kind of all flow together. They're the same topic, or quite a bit the same. Today, we're going to look a little bit about saving faith. We talk about being saved by faith. I mean, we read it here, you're saved by faith through grace. But what is saving faith? I think we, as Christians, sometimes misunderstand faith or how it applies and how it fits into our life, what it's all about. I mean, Scripture is clear from beginning to end through the Bible. Faith is very important. Faith is what makes things happen. And sometimes I believe that we get the impression that we are saved by our own faith. And that's really not true. It's not my ability to believe that saves me. It's just simply that I trust Christ. The load, the burden, the responsibility of my salvation rests on Christ. I believe that he can do it, but it doesn't matter how strong or how weak my faith is, as long as I believe it. Faith is the instrument that God uses to bring individuals to this saving relationship with him. It's an instrument. It's not the source of power, but rather an instrument. We're saved on the basis of God, on Christ, on what he has done. It's not on how much faith we have or how poor our faith may be. It's a channel by which God grants salvation. It's the way it's done. You know, in one sense, in a very technical sense, we're really not saved by faith. We're really not saved by faith. Christ saves us. All is through Him. It all relies upon Him. You know, James talks about works and showing the proof of our salvation by our works. But it's not by works that we're saved. It's not by the amount of faith that we have or how strong our faith is. It's simply just saying, Lord Jesus, help. Help me. I believe that you can help me. I trust that you are able to help me. I believe that you can do it. Faith is a gift. It comes to believers. God provides it. It's not something that we can muster up. I spent much of my life being bothered by that. You know, you hear sermons, messages about healing. Well, believe and you'll be healed. Have faith and you'll be healed. You're not healed because you don't have enough faith. Well, duh, I don't. I don't. I can't. It's a gift of God. It relies upon God. Everything relies upon God. He made the whole plan. He has it all laid out. He knows how it has to be. We don't have to try to have enough faith to make something happen. We don't have to have enough faith to get saved. We just have to have enough faith to turn to Jesus and say, hey, do it. I can't. You do it. I can't save me. I can't live a good holy life. I can't live in such a way that it brings glory to God my Father. I want to. I truly do. But I have to rely upon Jesus and the Holy Spirit living through me to make it happen. We can't do it alone. We can't do it alone. We're not, like I say, technically we're not really saved by faith, not our faith. Our faith is in Jesus and He does all the work. He does it all by grace. By grace. A quote from Charles Haddon Spurgeon, salvation is all of grace. It's all grace. All grace. So we kind of move on. Where does faith come from anyway? We do have to have a little bit. It comes from the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a born-again believer. The Holy Spirit is within us. And Christ gives us the faith, a gift, through the Holy Spirit being within us and working in us. Faith brings about the activation of Christ. Faith brings about the activation of God's power. Faith brings about the activation of all kinds of good and wonderful things that God has in store for us. But we're not saved by faith alone. We can't be saved by faith because we don't have enough. By grace, God offers it as a free gift. He offers it to us free of charge. And faith is evident. Our salvation is evident by good works. Again, back to what James was saying. Once we're truly saved, once we have truly experienced true saving faith, then our lives will start to produce the good works. The love will start flowing out even more, even greater. We'll start to think more like the Lord thinks. We'll start to behave more like the Lord behaved. The mercy, the forgiveness, the kindness, the love will become even more present in our lives. Faith, saving faith, is not really a one-part item, if I can say it that way. It involves repentance, trust in God. And we have to acknowledge our own sinfulness. We acknowledge that we are a sinner, like Paul told the Romans, all have sinned. We come to the Lord sorrowful, repentant, sorry for what we are. And then we trust in the Lord to do it, to make us righteous. Some of the reformers spoke of it in this way. Recognition of the truth claims of the gospel. Recognition of the truth claims of the gospel is part one. Acknowledgement of their truthfulness in exact correspondence to man's spiritual need, and a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by virtue of his death, provides the only sufficient sacrifice for one's personal sin. It's all God. It's all Jesus. We recognize the truth of the gospel. We believe it. And he does it. Any of these things taken by themselves doesn't do it. Just because we read the Word of God or hear about Jesus and believe that Jesus exists, that doesn't do it. That doesn't make it. The Scriptures tell us that even the demons recognize Christ and it scares them. They know he's there, he's real. They know it's not somebody's imagination. They know the truth. It scares them. Christ is real. Salvation is real. Forgiveness is real. We have to have faith in all three parts. It has to be mental. We have to believe it in our mind, read it and understand it, know it. Emotional, it takes repentance, sorrow over our sinfulness. And it takes an intentional choice. We can acknowledge it, we can feel bad, but unless we choose to make Jesus Lord of all, it doesn't work. Saving faith involves mind and will. We have to understand it and we have to want it. I gave you a little sideline here. I gave you a little handout in the bulletin that talks about the three different aspects of salvation. You can take it home and look the Scriptures up and read them and that, but it talks about, first one, how a believer has been saved from the guilt and penalty of sin. And the second one, the believer is being saved from the habit and dominion of sin. In the future, the believer is going to be fully saved and conformed to the likeness of Christ. So just something to kind of help understand a little bit. But I want to close with the one thought here from Matthew chapter 7 and verses 21 through 23. This is Jesus speaking. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Verse 22, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So just knowing that Christ is real doesn't make it just a simple mental belief, doesn't do it. We have to fully commit to Christ and fully accept Him. Activating all three portions of true faith in our lives. Lord, we thank You so much for who You are, what You've done, Your great love and Your great mercy. The fact that You do it all, we don't have to do anything other than ask and trust. Thank You, my Lord. Our closing hymn is Only Believe, page 532.